Ronnie D. Today's date, 19th July, 1972. This is Mr. Ronnie D. Smith of Saginaw Valley College. This morning, I'll be interviewing Mr. Ralph W. Strobel of 117 Storch Street in Saginaw. This is the second in a series of interviews. This morning's interview topics will be, first, Lewis Campbell, Saginaw's first settler. Secondly, a brief history of Saginaw County. And finally, some historical notes on the Shiawassee Wildlife Reserve.
Saginaw area. As early as 1790, a Mr. Tromley came here to trade with the Indians. He made several trips here in a sailing boat, came as far as the mouth of the Saginaw River, and on his last trip here, he got into an argument with an Indian about a muskrat spear that he made for him, which he claimed was inferior and should have been better, which the Indian claimed was inferior. And in the argument, he was stabbed. He got back onto his sailing vessel and was very much in pain of his wound. His crew sailed him out into the bay, and during a storm, he was washed overboard so that he lost his life in his second trip here to the Saginaw area. Then in about 1816, after the War of 1812, Mr. Lewis Campbell came here and established a trading post with the Indians, and he traded quite successfully, was well liked, and was said to have been very fair and decent with the Indians. And he was here until about 1826, or a period of 10 years, when he left and went over to Grand Rapids and established, of course, the city of Grand Rapids, where he spent the rest of his life. Then in 1819, this was a few years after the War of 1812, the people were clamoring for more Indian land to settle on. There's no good reason for thinking that they needed more Indian land, because there was a lot of territory in the Detroit area that had not been settled, where there was plenty of room for people to come in and live. But there was quite a call for it, and the federal government finally came down, and the federal government finally decided to make an attempt to make another treaty with the Indians, and they sent General Lewis Cass, who was at that time the territorial governor of our area, came here to Saginaw and called a treaty conference with the Indians. After about a week or 10 days of conferring with them, they made the treaty for the Saginaw area land. It amounted to about 6 million acres and extended from near where the city of Jackson is now to Alpena, and took in half of the Thumb area. And as I say, a total of 6 million acres, largest land transaction ever made in the Saginaw area. After the treaty, of course, Campbell continued here, and in 1828, Gardner D. Williams came and established a post here too. And finally, he bought the Williams arrangement and had the entire fur trading arrangement with the Indians at that time. Gardner D. Williams was a very active man. He would he was our first supervisor of the township. He was a county judge, first mayor of the city of Saginaw. He had been postmaster, and was at that time, we might say, a Mr. Saginaw, as far as history is concerned. He died at the age of 57. If he had lived a full life, we wonder what he would have really accomplished here in this area. He established the first sawmill in the area, and his descendants are still, quite a number of his descendants are still living here in the Saginaw area. But Williams was one of our early outstanding men of the In 1831, Saginaw Township was organized as a governmental unit, or the first governmental unit in the area. We at that time, of course, were attached to Oakland County, with Pontiac as the county seat. Our early supervisor, who happened to be Williams, had to make his trip to Pontiac by canoe and horseback and what other means there were, and walking, to go to the supervisor's meeting. As I said, the first organization meeting was held in one of the old fort buildings here in Saginaw in 1831. And one of the first announcements, our first decisions was made that they voted no bounties for wolves or bears. They wouldn't pay any bounty on anything like that. In 1832, the first mention of tax money was $25 for the poor. They seem to be having that same problem that we have today, only on a much lesser basis. Another mention was $60 for roads and bridges. 1834, the inhabitants of Saginaw Township, it is mentioned in there, the inhabitants of Saginaw Township, Oakland County. Then in 1835, the heading again of their meeting is the inhabitants of Saginaw Township, Saginaw County. By that time, Saginaw County was organized, and Oakland County was out as far as this place was concerned. They also appropriated $6 to obtain maps of the towns on the Saginaw River. And these maps, of course, were stored somewhere in the township and for reference. Another item that I noticed in 1836, it was voted that stallions 2 years or over were not to be permitted to run at large. This particular mention was made quite a number of times about horses or stallions not being allowed to run at large, while bulls were never mentioned. I found no record of where they ever mentioned bulls. They did, on some occasions, not allow boar hogs to run at large, but I found no reference of the bulls being mentioned. In 1836, too, the expense for the township totaled $234. 1837, here it was voted, will be suffered to run at large. They didn't put any restriction on it, and it was particularly mentioned. Also, $50 for poor was appropriated that particular year in 1837. Going back to 1836, they granted permits to keep taverns. One was on the Tittabawassee River. At that time, they issued permits already to people selling liquor. In 1838, the expense jumped up to $646. In 1839, they listed the first persons who were liable to jury duty in the county. 1840, more licenses were issued. And the highway commissioners, these were not the working men, but the highway commissioners received 12 shillings per day. At that time, they were still talking about shillings in their money, which was 12 and a half cents. 1841, notice of the meeting. The meeting notices are there, and notation with it says the 6 copies wrote out and posted up and down the river. That was the notice of their board meetings. They asked voters, in 1843, they asked the voters to raise by taxes $700 to finish the courtroom and jury rooms in the first floor of the first courthouse that had never been completed. It would seem that they had differences. It would seem that they had differences in their committees at that time, because I noticed here that in 1843 they had a majority board report and a minority board report that came in, so they apparently apparently didn't always agree. 1845, a bounty of 5 cents was to be paid on blackbirds. This 5 cent or 1 cent or 3 cent bounty on blackbirds is mentioned very regularly in the minutes of the meetings of the board. But wild pigeons are never referred to. Apparently they were not as damaging or as detrimental as the blackbirds were, because they were never mentioned as a bounty on pigeons, only on blackbirds. And that came very regular. I do remember that the Williams brothers reported that they had a field of oats shocked and ready to take to the barn, and they were gone one afternoon. The blackbirds got in there and destroyed the entire crop for them. So that is one reason why they offered the reward for blackbirds right along. Then in 1847, they list a group of men, or listing of men who are liable to military duty. About 120 of them were listed. This was in 44, my mistake. It was in 44, which is just prior to the Mexican War. Apparently there was feeling that there was going to be a war, and they were lining up the men that they could pick up for military duty. They had, in 1845, they allowed money to repair a scow boat ferry on the Tittabawassee River. This was located just in the area of where the Riverside Park is now. There was a ferry boat there that was maintained by the township, and they repaired it that particular year. In 1845, the township bought the 2 acres of ground along the Saginaw River on what they called the Tittabawassee River Road, which is the road that led towards Green Point on the river. They bought this for a cemetery site. The cemetery was maintained for quite a number of years, and later it was moved to, the burials were moved to the Oakwood Cemetery, and the land sold to industries. The old Saginaw Manufacturing Company is located on that particular site. The buildings are located on that particular site right now. At that time, of course, there was no Saginaw City, only Saginaw Township of the county. There was only one or two other townships that were established at that time. So that the township, of course, extended over a lot of area, and they established that particular cemetery, and they established a cemetery in Bridgeport Township, or Bridgeport Village. That particular cemetery was established by Saginaw Township. One in James Township on the Strobel Road was established at the same time by Saginaw Township, when all that area was one big township. And they did establish their cemetery that way. Again, in 46, they mentioned the scow boat ferry to cross the Cass River. That would be where the Dixie Highway now crosses the Cass River. They had a scow boat there with a rope attached to each bank, so that if a person came there and the scow was on the opposite side of the river, they could pull it over to them and use it to get back with. But they had that particular establishment. They had a man in the area who was charged with keeping it clean and in condition to be used. They resolved that in 1847, $400 is sufficient to defray the expenses of the township for that particular year. 1849, $200 for the repair of the road between Saginaw and Frankenmuth. They spell it Frankinmouth, for Frankenmuth. And they refer to it as the Dutch settlement on the north side of the Cass River, although the clerk in error wrote Saginaw River, which is meant for the Cass River, but they referred to it as Frankenmuth. So that at that time, of course, Frankenmuth was part of Saginaw Township. In fact, the German settlers at the time settled in Saginaw Township because the Saginaw Township extended that far. At another period of time, all of Tuscola County was the township of Tuscola of Saginaw County, and the E.W. Perry was supervisor, came down here for the meetings. He had to come down the Cass River to come to the supervisor's meetings. He represented that particular township. We also have marriage records. The first marriage record was made in August 25th, 1831. The second one was made in October of the same year. In that particular case, the bride's father agreed that he was perfectly willing to have his daughter marry the bridegroom, and he thought she was about 15 years of age. The bridegroom states in his statement that he sees no good reason why he should not marry the girl. I won't mention the names, but he felt that she should be his bride, and he signed, and the father both signed with an X, both illiterate, and of course the clerk wrote the names down, and they X'd their names in. The library at that time consisted of about 286 books. There were such books as The Life of Napoleon, The Life of Martin Luther, History of Kansas, and History of the Reformation, all sorts of books that they accumulated, and they're all numbered and to make arrangements for people to come and loan books from the township library. Stray animals are also listed in this particular book, advertising or announcing the animals that were picked up on different farms and taken to the pond, where of course they could be redeemed again by the owner by paying a certain amount of money. Earmarks, animals were marked, hogs, sheep and horses, cows, would be marked. One farmer would mark his animals by cutting two round holes in the right ear. Another would have a slit in the left ear, and all sorts of combinations that they had whereby they could mark their animals. And of course that was all recorded with a township clerk, and if a stray animal showed up, well, they can tell by the township clerk record who owned the particular animal. Regarding the Shiawassee Federal Wildlife Preserve, I was asked to furnish some historical information concerning the particular area that is involved in that preserve. One thing they asked for were the Indian village sites that may be located in that particular territory. The late Fred Dustin, historian and archaeologist, established a code of numbering, naming local village sites. I have here the numbers of a number of them that are in the village, in the wildlife reserve. On the east bank of the Bullhead Creek and south of the old Mine Run Railroad bed, this would be in section 4, the west and there's another in the west side of Bullhead Creek in about the same position, but opposite. Also located along the south bank of the Tittabawassee River is a village site that extends on both sides of a small gully or break in the river bank. And this is in section 4 also. The Carr site was a village site close to the north bank of the Shiawassee River on what was then the George Shim Farm. It is in Section 8 of James Township. I have removed a number of artifacts from the water on that in that particular village site, and some on the cultivated land too. The Shim site is located on the same farm, on the same field, but somewhat north of the river. In fact, it is just south of the Hart Road if the road were extended, and about 500 or 600 feet east of the Willing Road. This site has been excavated in 1961. A number of nice artifacts were collected there. A cache site, or a cache was discovered on the also on the Shim Farm, which is located about 100 feet west of the Willing Road and 150 feet south of the Hart Road extended. There were 32 blades, oval-shaped, and were collected over a period of 4 years. They were scattered over an area of about 125 feet in diameter. This area is too large an area for those stones to be scattered that far by the plow, and I suspect that they probably were, during a stump blasting operation, that they were scattered because they were scattered over too much territory. The Indians used to bring material from Bayport, roughed out, and then they would bury it in their wigwam and as they needed to make more points or more flint items, they'd dig it out and use it, and this was one of those caches. We have in this county discovered quite a number of those caches, but this one particular one was within the area of the Shiawassee Wildlife Preserve. There were also two ghost towns in that preserve. The one was the Shiawassee City, located in Section 2 of James Township. It's on the south bank of the Shiawassee River, directly opposite of Green Point, and extending along the Saginaw River for a short distance. There were 33 blocks of 10 lots each. Laid out, 10 of the streets were 60 feet wide, and Main Street was 90 feet in width, and with Broadway being 100 feet wide. 8 lots are marked to be public commons. There are also 35 riverfront lots extending from the Saginaw River along the Shiawassee and the Cass River. Survey was not very well done. The mouth of the Cass River is too close to Green Point, and the rivers are badly distorted. I don't think that it ever was even surveyed. I think somebody just took a map and drew it out and did the work in a very crude manner. That was in June of 1836. These are from the Register of Deeds records in Saginaw County here. Again, in Liber A, page 187, February the 13th, 1837, we have a recording of what was referred to as Upper Saginaw. There was a Lower Saginaw, which is now Bay City, but someone thought of Upper Saginaw at the head of the Saginaw River navigation, and it was recorded only 9 months after the Shiawassee City, and much of it on the same land along the south bank of the Shiawassee River, extending well above the great bend of the Cass River. It shows 40 streets, a public square, and a location for a shipyard. The survey work is somewhat better, but it still is very inaccurate and shows an island at Green Point where none was known to exist at that time. The island that is there now, of course, was created by cutting a cut through and for the lumbermen to move logs into the Shiawassee River. But that was done 40 years after this map was supposed to have been made. There's also a sketch map, a copy of which was obtained from the City Hall at Saginaw. An island is shown with a cut near where the what was later located. This map is also inaccurate and is not dated, but judging from the names that are shown locating sawmills, it was made sometime during the 18th. And it is quite possible that the persons who made up Upper Saginaw and Shiawassee City may have had a copy of that map and redrew it on their particular sheet that they made up. But they're all rather inaccurate. Coming to the Tittawassee Boom Company record books or minute books, they record that on June the 8th, 1877, on page 348, a motion was made to cut a 60-foot wide, to cut a cut that would be 60 feet wide at the top, 40 feet wide at the bottom, with 7 feet of water was to be made in order to be able to move logs from the Tittawassee River into the Shiawassee for storage purposes. It was much easier to go through there after they cut than it was to go all the way around Green Point. So they did that. And then on page 357, this was in January 58, following, they note again that the channel has been dredged across Green Point, resulting in a storage ground in the Shiawassee River. The cost was $1,500. It had originally been estimated to cost $1,000, but it developed that it cost them $1,500 to do it. Again, in the Boom Company minute books, we know that in 1866 already, they made a motion to lease the Shiawassee River front belonging to Mr. Fitchew for a storage area. The Boom Company leased, later on, the Boom Company leased the river bottom of the south one half of the Tittawassee River from Mr. Fitchew. This is the area that is very close to Green Point. Because they had to drive a good many piles in the river, and there they leased the river bottom from the landowner. At this time, the Boom Company owned, this was in 1877, the Boom Company owned 335 acres of land at Green Point. And then is when they put the cut through and created what is now known as Green Island, or the island that contains Green Point. The cut is not shown on the map of 1877 because that was the year that it was made, so that it did not show on the particular map. The Saginaw County Atlas of 1896 records the island as it was created in 1877. At that time, it was owned by P.W. Wiggin. And Robert Fitchew owned all the land east of Bullhead Creek in Section 3. That is the area between the Shiawassee and Tittawassee Rivers.